Welcome to Tummy Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah. What voice is that?
I don't know, say. Kind of like it's a scary scared one. Little ghost, like a little Victorian child, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Anne, were you doing a voice? Or?
No, I was just really taken aback by what was happening. I didn't know we were going into it. I was like, oh, that's a fun bit. That'll be fun when you do that on the podcast. And I was like, oh, no, that's the intro. Yeah.
That's the real intro. I think people
I'm doing
are gonna,
great tonight.
It's thematic. Happy Halloween.
It. It's Halloween.
It's Halloween for real tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys get any trick-or-treaters where you are?
No, this is the second year I've lived in this place, and it makes me crazy because there's a parade of children that walk by houses with porch lights, and they don't stop. And I think it's because there's like a neighborhood like party at the school
it's
or
all
something.
Neighborhood
That's
parties
crazy.
Now.
That trunk or treat thing is ruining America.
I hate it.
I kind of agree. Like I'm like children should be roaming. Like crazy. They're not roaming the way they used to.
No.
No. The children should be in the streets with pillowcases dressed bizarrely. Like,
they should be dressed bizarrely.
Like, adults want to see cute children in costumes coming to their doors. They don't want to have them at a separate parking lot.
No. It's just, this is, you know, it's just another problem. Again, another problem.
And in this election season, we're really thinking about America's problems.
The last thing we can deal with now.
And Kamala, what is your plan to address trick-or-treating?
Which candidate has a bold plan to address it?
I feel like she does have a plan, probably. She's like, full-size candy bars. You get some full-size candy bars, and you get out there on the sidewalk, and you hand out the candy.
That's not a bad plan for Leah. Just stand out there in the street and as they're walking past you, be like, God damn it, here's a full-size candy bar.
Take this candy.
I think it'll like be really normal and cool if I stand on my stoop and say, hey, children, come closer. I have big candies.
Well, you know, Leah, not all innovators were celebrated in their time. But they were thanked in the future.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. I told you guys, though, I went to vote today and had kind of a weirdly a little profound experience with my community where everybody was being really nice and it was really, like, positive. And I thought, you know what? I bet a lot of these people are voting for Trump, but what could you do? But, like, they are my neighbors. And I feel like if we all maybe got offline a little more, and, like, interacted with our neighbors, like, say, on Halloween, it might be better for us as a society.
I gotta watch that Netflix doc that just came out that's like, get a hobby or die or something. But it's that guy who was doing the long sociological experiment where his takeaway was like, America, you must join a club. You gotta get out there. You gotta join a team. You gotta join a club. Which
Bring back
I
the
do,
Masons. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, I do think I mean, honestly. A lot about like, I don't want to belong to, like, I'm not religious, so I don't want to belong to a church, but I think about the experiences that, like, my grandmother and her, you know, that whole side of the family had, like, with their church communities, and it's like, they're just going on vacations together, they're just, you know, they're just organizing things and having little bake sales, and
I grew up
bake sales,
a church.
America.
I know. I was a church kid, and it was just like, those were the people we had Thanksgiving with, and, you know, Christmas Eve, and did everything with, I had a lot of adults that cared about me, which was actually great as a child.
This is the kind of talk that leads you down the road to Unitarian Universalism.
It is,
That is where this ends up. You know what they say, why are you saying that like it's a bad thing? It's not. It's fine, but there's
fine. But
there's downsides, too. They're going to weird summer camps. Oh, go ahead.
They are. Unitarians because they don't believe in the Trinity. But the joke is that Unitarians believe in at most one God.
Well, so that one's for the Unitarians out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I know ya. I love ya. Of course I could become one of you. Anything could happen.
You're at your co-op. You're going to your Unitarian church. You're really investing in your community.
The co-op kind of is my church in a way. I guess in a way, the co-op is my church.
You ever see that Tumblr post? It's like, if you ever want a very tight-knit support group, like, really instantly. Try to pick up a hobby that only old people do, because you will never you will never feel as like desired and welcomed, you know, because they're like
so excited.
Yeah, right. Like, they're like, join a crochet club. Like there was an example where it was like, I emailed this club being like, I'd like to learn like falconry, and like apparently all of the old men in the club had like a really bitter fight over who got to be this person's mentor.
Wow. My God, that would feel so
amazing. Yeah, yeah. Especially if you're getting to learn falconry and old men are fighting over your hand, basically.
Literally your hand. That's where the bird sits.
That's where the glove. The
bird sits.
Wow.
Maybe I should join a club this year. I mean, it's hard to know how I would fit it in with my busy schedule of watching wrestling, but...
I know, since Tony Khan wants us to watch wrestling 5 to 7 days a week.
I guess if we could join a wrestling club in real life.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't see it happening either, but...
It's a nice thought, though.
Wow. Well, I don't know how we ended up here. How are you guys doing? Oh, you have something to say, Leah?
No, I was going to say that, like, I think some people talk about, like, sometimes they'll show pay-per-views at, like, movie theaters, and apparently it's a very communal experience. And I like that, because I really liked watching snakes on a plane in a movie theater, because that, like, that's, like, the vibe I'm picturing, that, like, everybody's, like, screaming at the TV together.
I love that that's where you went. I love that in the past couple of years we've had some big movie theater experience, like the Taylor Swift concert was in theaters, or people are going to see Cats. I love that you went all the way back.
I really don't like going to the movies in general. Like, I think I would like wrestling, but in general, I don't like movies because you're supposed to be silent, and you're like, you're sitting in the seat, and you're not really supposed to fidget, and it's like a whole thing. And I'm like, I feel trapped. Like, like 20 minutes into a movie, I'm like, I gotta get out of here. I'll just wait for you guys in the parking lot.
And Trapped is the last movie I saw in theaters. That's the name of it, right?
Trap.
Well, it makes you think regardless. I like that now movie theaters, or like the ones that I go to, it's more like an adult slumber party vibe, because the seats have gotten so luxurious.
They really have. Yeah.
That you really are like, you're leaning all the way back.
Yeah, you're lying flat on your back.
I mean, in public, it's hard to get my big beer to my mouth.
Right. You've got to sit up a little bit to take a drink. Yeah.
It's kind of like an overnight flight, you know, when they like, give you like it's kind of a bed.
Yeah, kind of a first class flight situation in the theater. These days.
Do you think if you went to a wrestling pay-per-view in a movie theater, they would let you have your laptop out to be in 1 to 3 group chats at the same time?
I guess I kind of don't see what I don't think I could have the experience I need to have if I weren't allowed to be in my group chat. I mean, like, maybe if you guys lived in the same city as me, but even then, there's a lot of people I'm trying to keep in touch with during the old pay-per-view. A lot of opinions I'm trying to track.
We're not enough for you, I hear it, yeah.
Well, you guys are everything to me. But at the same time, no, you're not. Yes, I need other things. Yes, you are everything to me, but also I do need more. Stimulation. Constant stimulation.
Hmm.
Wow. I love you guys so much. I'm going to miss you this month.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird month. It'll be the longest we've gone without seeing each other for 3.5 years.
It's going to be...
I'm realizing that.
It's going to be a, like, war widow, husband come home situation when we get back in here. We're going to be kissing in the streets like those, like those D-Day freaks.
Or like
cool people
when you YouTube like dog seeing their owners after a long, and the dog's just so excited that they're like hopping everywhere and trying to like climb the human.
Yeah,
that'll be us.
We're gonna be climbing each other,
wagging our tails,
just licking the Zoom camera. So excited!
Oh my gosh! Wow. Well, any other personal news to report on?
Any medical information?
Oh, medical information. Still woke up with hives last night.
Save it for the picture.
You did?
Are you serious?
Even on the steroids?
Mm. Woke up in the middle of the night with hives, had to take an Allegra. And then I woke up like 4 more times in the night, didn't sleep good at all.
That's crazy. So, are you on like serious steroids? What are they?
Not serious enough. I don't think. The pills are quite small. To be honest, I don't know that she took me seriously enough about how my body can be with hives. It wants to have them.
I think you got to go to Australia and check out the medical situation over there.
Yeah, see what they have to offer for sure. The good news is that the 24/7 non-drowsy Allegra does keep the hives under control. I think even when I'm not on the steroids, it will probably keep them under control. I hope. I pray to God. So it's like, if I'm in Australia with hives, well, the motherland will take me how she takes me, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Frankly, I don't really know, but yeah. So that's where we're at, but.
Yikes. That sucks.
What about you guys? How the body's doing?
A little better. I'm still coughing, but better. I keep being like, I think it's better than yesterday, so it's not something I have to deal with.
Your potential pneumonia situation.
Mm. I didn't like hearing that. Our friend, I was describing what was going on with me to our friend, and they were like, she was like, do you think it turned into pneumonia? And I was like, well, I suddenly am illiterate. I can't read.
She did come at you a little. I mean, I think she had to. A little like she's talking to a toddler. She said, hey, buddy, do you think you might have a little pneumonia?
Well, I think we can all agree that if you ignore pneumonia, it goes away.
Sometimes, you know, it works different ways at different times.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Anne, how about you?
Oh, pretty bad. Yeah.
Pretty bad. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I've been so stressed all week and my body feels bad, but luckily I'm flying to Florida tomorrow to work 12-hour shifts for 2 straight weeks. So
I think that's going to help a lot. That is because, hard work makes hail body. Is that one in the lexicon? That seems possible. Someone could have said that at some point.
It's quite possible someone said it.
Yeah. I'm excited because I'm going to be on this long flight, and I was like, I'll be getting in a mask on that flight because I can't really be getting COVID on this flight. And someone in our channel recommended, I didn't even know they made those little straw things for the masks. I'm so thrilled. I ordered so I cannot wait to try this little, like in a little gadget for the thing.
Love a gadget.
Oh God, I love a gadget. I got 2 different sleeping masks for the plane and I thought I would send one back, but they're both so nice in their own way that I'm keeping them both.
Sleeping mask, like an eye mask or like a COVID style mask.
This is like an eye mask, so I can be masked. Every single part of me can be masked, of course.
I think your whole face should be covered.
And
sure.
It will be. It will be.
An eye mask over a COVID mask is the funniest picture. And in fact, I'd like you to send me a picture.
Yes.
We'll see. Who knows? Who knows how I'll be feeling at the time, but it's going to feel, the mask feels so luxurious on the face that I think I'm just going to be in my own special happy world.
It'll be like when a baby gets, what do you call it? When you wrap them all up and you don't let them have limbs
swaddled.
Anymore. Swaddled. Do you think it'll be like your face got swaddled?
I think it'll kind of be like my body got swaddled too, because I also got, this was a while ago, but I haven't had an opportunity to use it. This woman on TikTok recommended, it's like an infinity scarf, but like a pillow. So you can kind of put it around your neck and then you can just like stick your arms in it, which is what I need, because when I'm on planes and I'm trying to sleep, I don't really know what to do with my arms. And usually I shove my hands in my pockets and sleep like that, which is crazy. But I need, my hands don't like to be loose in the plane. So now I have this sling for my arms, the mask for my eyes, the mask for my face.
And when you start garbing up for your
straw stuck in there
for your long nap, whoever's next to you is going to be having an incredible time. I feel like I'm swaddling up.
I think the good thing about an international flight is that all bets are kind of off. Like, whatever the person near you is doing, you're just like, go with God. I hope that works for you. So,
I would like a picture. Yeah. I really would.
Okay, well, you may get one and you may not. It's hard to say what'll happen, but
maybe I don't like that as a response.
No, that's not a great answer. No, I'd like a different one.
I'd like a strong commitment from my friend.
Yes. Yeah. I would like my friend. I would like my friend to look across at me and say, mm-hmm. I it's going to be a long time since we see till we see each other again.
Right.
I need a little something to tide me over.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
just give us one beautiful little swaddle picture.
Hey, anything's possible. Anything could happen. You might get one, but who knows? Maybe you won't. It's so hard to know what could happen in the future. But
it's so hard to lie to me right now. This is so hard.
Would you want me to? Would you want me to be the kind of friend who lies?
I guess not.
I think you guys value my honesty. Maybe. I guess I don't know. Maybe not. Okay, guys. It was Fright Night this week. Fright Night Dynamite this week. Did you think that it was a better themed experience than last year when I don't remember if we had a themed experience?
I think it has to have been. Something, because remember Abaddon, like, had, like, a pumpkin match with Sheeta?
They did have a match,
I don't think there were any graves on set, though.
No.
I don't think there were any graves on stage. This is definitely better.
I want to be clear. This was definitely better. I'm just trying to remember if there was anything.
I think there was some light theming. But I feel like I remember being, like, this could be so much more fun.
Yeah.
And this year was pretty fun. They did it up with some of the accoutrement.
Yeah, for sure.
They really did. They went pretty hard with the music and the tombstones. And
they did that spooky intro.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what they said,
but it was fun.
But it was very fun. I was just disappointed that more people, I mean, it was kind of like there were some serious storylines, so I understand why they didn't so much, but I was disappointed that there weren't more costumes on the performers.
I would have loved it if, like, we had to watch Mox be like, I'm going to kill everybody, but he's dressed as Snoopy as he does it.
Yes, exactly.
I think I know someone, listen, I know someone's going to say, okay, WWE girls. I think we could have had some little skits, some little, you know, like, on, like, Nick at Night or something, where you have the, like, 2-second skit between shows that's just, like, they're dressed in a funny way for the holidays. I think we could have had some of those with, the, you know, the background characters just in their little costumes.
Get the Dark Order out there, you know?
Oh, please. I guess they were participating. For costumes.
But
a lot of our faves too stressed out for fun right now.
Again, imagine OC coming up for his promo.
In a turkey costume.
Yeah, in a turkey costume.
What if he was dressed exactly the way he was dressed, but he wore some little plastic vampire fangs and spoke with a much more pronounced lisp than usual for the whole promo?
Wouldn't that be fun? I would love it, but that's definitely one of the things that would piss men off so badly. They'd be like, how are we supposed to take him seriously when he's lisping with his plastic teeth? Oh my God, what if he had like a little like brown nose and like whiskers?
Oh, like a little kitty cat, and he could wear the little kitty cat ears. That would be cute. That would be so cute. Why couldn't he have worn Priscilla Kelly costume again, you know?
Oh, man.
Why can't I see that again?
And he could be wearing a costume today and like posting stuff to his Instagram if he couldn't do it for the kayfabe last night.
Put a bra on and post a pic.
Yeah, and that goes for all of you, really. All of them.
Truly. My God. Well, so that's what, that's what girls want for next year. Mm. Not from girls. Girls, you do anything you want. Men, put a bra on and show us.
I feel like that is the most eternal tunnel talk like experience of all time. Girls, you do what you want. Men, put a bra on.
Might as well be the tagline to our podcast.
Oh my gosh. Well, with that, let's get into the storylines. Kyle Fletcher debuted a new theme and look this week on Fright Night. And he is a bad boy now. So what was he wearing, guys?
Buzz.
I'm asking you guys.
Sorry, I zoned out for a second, and then I had to. That's how quick we can zone out. He's wearing leather pants, Allie.
Really sad. I'm done for the night. That's about it for me.
I think I thought there was going to be more recap before it got kicked to me, but
no. I'm trying to integrate you guys into the recap. I'm not trying to bore the listener with my dumb long recap.
But that's like usually like my like special thinking time. Like you're talking, and I kind of like really am getting like, what am I gonna do next? What am I gonna say? Kind of like it's me. It's for me.
Interesting. Mm. Oh, okay. I did something so funny this week. I told you guys where I was listening to like one of our old episodes from last year because. These podcasts aren't keeping up with me. The ones that I listen to just to zone out, like Ruined, put out more episodes. Scary movie show. It's too scary. What would you scary?
Didn't watch.
Put out more episodes, girls. Get to work. But anyway, so I listened to one of our old episodes, and I was having such a funny experience where I did something. In this episode, I wasn't doing any recapping. Like, I was just, we were raw dogging these topics. I was just really? Like, no recap. I'm just being like, so girls, what are your thoughts on the MJF Adam Cole storyline? And I was in my car listening to this, like, truly, I became, I don't know, like, kind of a business bitch about it. And I was like, that's something to keep in mind, Allie. You should mix it up more. We don't have to do the same format every week. Some weeks you might want to do a different format because your girls might not be getting the enrichment they need. I gotta make sure that they're getting what they need from the podcasting experience.
I love that you could have known us for as long as you've known us. Really, like 8 years at this point, and you're like, yeah. I think what they don't like is stability. They like change. They love it so much when all of a sudden, like, a routine is disrupted.
All I can say is that you guys were responding really well to this, though, at the time. I was getting just some of the richest, most thoughtful takes from you two.
Wow.
And I thought,
wow.
I hope I'm not suppressing them. I hope you know what? I want to help them flourish.
At the time, it might have been one of the weeks where you said, I'm really going to half-ass the schedule and not recap anything. Is that okay with you guys? And we said, yeah. And then we went in with our eyes open, ready to help you out.
Oh,
you
know? Okay. All right. Yeah.
How
okay.
long ago was this episode?
Yeah.
One year. One single year?
And you weren't recapping?
Well, I was surprised, too, because I think I was recapping normally. But somehow, if I had written out recaps, they didn't seem to make it to the final product. Well, this is a little inside baseball. Okay, look, Kyle's wearing the... Boom, we're back in the present day. Kyle Fletcher is wearing leather because he's a bad boy now.
Because it's really good when heels change their outfits.
They have to.
He has some visual signifier. Some other people could think about that if they're going to inexplicably turn.
My God, too true. But he's got his new buzz cut. I think it looks pretty good.
It does look really good.
I mean, 1,000 times better than the old straw hat he had on before.
I loved the straw hat, but I admit that this looks better, of course. It's not as dear to me yet, but...
Yet.
Yeah, anyway, he had his new tough boy little glasses, maybe, I think.
And he kind of, like, looks up at the ceiling a lot, like, which I think is a funny note. It's like, evil people, they're kind of looking up.
And why
the
is that? They're like keeping an eye out for God. I could get a lightning bolt at any time. So I got to keep my eyes on the sky. That seems right. So I guess last week I vaguely recalled he said he wanted Ospreay to show up this week and meet his challenge. But Ospreay didn't show up. He's on vacay, which we love for him. Instead, Mark Davis, old dump truck, as we like to refer to him, came out, and he was wearing a kind of classic Kenny Doesn't Love Us outfit. Like, he had not dressed for the night.
No, stained, baggy t-shirt absolutely destroyed me. I was like, yes, King, give us nothing.
He said, step on my neck. We don't deserve it.
This is my big moment. I've returned to the Pop of the Crown, and I just woke up.
Don't you think it was interesting how much this was, like, a pretty significant focus of the interaction? Like, it was a real choice. He came out dressed like Pajama Day on purpose so that Kyle Fletcher could be like, I'm actually evil and I look cool now. So I don't hang out with dumpster trash boys. You're going to have to look cool if you want to hang with me. Mm. It was Sandy from Grease all over again.
Oh my gosh.
And so Mark Davis hits Kyle with, he's just like, babe, what the fuck is going on here? I break my entire ass leg and I'm out for 10 years and I come back and you've turned on Ospreay. We love Ospreay. Kyle's like, we fucking don't love Ospreay and you look like ass. So Davis's vibe was like, I don't want to be evil with you.
Right.
I thought he made that pretty clear, actually. But then as he was going to leave, Kyle said, one day you're going to have to make a hard choice. So the decision has been deferred. Where do you guys think we're going with this? Are we truly breaking up a tag team? Or
in this time, in this point of our, like, dearth of tag teams, you were breaking them up?
We can't. I don't also, think we can.
You know I love Dump Truck Boyfriend. I love him more than anything. But you know what? I'm like, if your boyfriend goes evil, you kind of have to follow him. Like, I mean, if...
I agree.
If my longtime bonded lover said to me, hey, our friend must be murdered, I'd say, well, maybe he had bad vibes. I don't know.
I'm thinking, actually, of some of the times when the Young Bucks have gone heel and... Matt has been really fucking gung-ho about it. And in the past, sometimes Nick has been like, I'm not 100% sure this is what we should be doing. But you can see, like, he's just like, but that's a private conversation we'll have. In public, it's going to be a united front. Yes, we are evil now. We're not taking questions. Maybe we'll talk about this back in the dressing room later, but
in public, evil. I especially loved it when they were up against... Golden Jets, because like Matt was like, I'm so mad at Kenny, and Nick was like, and you definitely are,
and you are, I mean, we are.
Wow, I keep forgetting that Golden Jets happened because it was so bizarre, and then every time I remember it, I just think about that promo where no one knew what they were doing at all, and it was so funny.
I retroactively have decided that it is my favorite tag team and my favorite team, because the more people hate it, the more I'm like, was it not a perfect time?
Yeah, wasn't that promo the funniest thing you've ever seen, though? Was it not entertainment? I loved it.
I actually don't think it's remotely appropriate to complain about that promo because, and not because Kenny's guts were trying to jump out of his body. His body was literally like, I am going to die. It was just so funny. Every single second of it was like, what is what is this? Every single man was giving, I didn't know I'd be here. Tony said I wouldn't have a segment tonight.
I had 30 seconds notice. We're calling it in the ring.
We're going to do it live. Fuck it, we do it live.
Do you remember the look on all four men's faces when Kenny made the Billy Starks joke and it failed
badly,
and all four men just like, well, that I don't know what to do now.
I mean, God. I, not to sound smug and sanctimonious, but I pity everyone on this earth for whom comedy is not a core value, because you don't know how good life can be when the most important thing to you at any given time was, did I have a chuckle? Did I have a little chuckle? Did I yuck it up?
And that was such like a classic AEW disaster too. It's like, I, you know, there's a certain kind of like can't open the shark cage situation that's that's our promotion, you know.
There was an honesty to it. There was absolutely an honesty to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you remember that Hangman and Mox promo where the mic stopped working and Mox had to change mics twice and the crowd started chanting, we can't hear you? And Hangman said, they can't hear you, Mox.
Oh, it really is just like when you're at a children's play and someone does something so stupid. I mean, that's what you want.
That's the sport we love. Anyway, so Mark Davis. I think he's got to go bad. And actually, I think to me, this setup was like, he is going to go bad. I thought. I mean, that was just what I thought. But...
I know. I thought there was a point where Kyle was going to be like, okay, but like, I'm going bad, so you have to follow me. And Mark was going to be like, ugh, fine. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, at the end, he'd convince him.
But it's so wrestling to do it in multiple segments.
Yeah.
Like, wrestling doesn't like to move through all of that in one segment. Play it out over a couple weeks. I think he's got it. We can't be losing. Listen, we can't be losing tag teams. And you've got to
especially stick. Not long-time bonded tag teams. Like,
certainly
it's bad
not
enough to break up, you know.
As someone that I don't remember who did the song said, you got to dance with the one that brung you. Okay, so Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis, mash mouths and make up.
Yeah.
You're bad boys now. Leah suggested a very special question that we're going to ask at the end of some of these segments today. I thought this was a really good segment suggestion, Leah.
Thank you so much.
If you
sucking Leah off tonight, I see. Hey,
it's a point of the board.
I'm trying to encourage anyone who makes my job with this schedule lighter gets sucked off on the podcast. Yeah. I didn't have to think of a special little Halloween segment for us to do. Yeah. Okay. If you guys ran the zoo, what would Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis, Will Ospreay, and the Callis family be getting up to 1 month from now when we return from break?
When we return.
This is not necessarily what you think will be happening. This is in a perfect world where when we come back, my God, everything is exactly as we wish it would be.
Exactly. Yeah. I want Will Ospreay to come back and be like, oh, but Mark Davis, like, we were you lived with me, of course. And then
we were roommates.
We were roommates. So, and then, like, they set up something where, like, Ospreay is on one side of the ring and Kyle's on the other side of the ring and Mark Davis is in the center. And then they both go, come here, come here.
Who's going to win? Who do you think wins?
You know, I always have to root for the tag teams. But, you know, I also root for Kyle turning back. So, you know, at some point they should come back to the Empire.
I think that it should be a thing where I think Mark Davis should run towards Ospreay and then kick him in the face.
I do think Ospreay needs to be being emotionally tortured really intensely when we come back. So I approve that.
I really want that man to have no friends and to be really aware of it and so damn depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So
we want men wearing bras and we want them sad. That's so much to ask.
I want you crying in a bar bathroom. I want your mascara running. And I want another person next to you being like, babe, are you okay? What can I do for you? So I don't think that's too much to ask.
Yeah.
All right, girls. Mommy's Little Baby, Orange Cassidy, opened Dynamite this week with just an absolutely banger promo because he is so,
so good.
He's actually so good at what he does.
Yeah.
The moment he strode out of the tunnel, I was like, oh, he mad.
Yeah.
He's so angry. Mad.
He's so angry. And he's wearing his darkest denim.
Darkest denim. He made them stop the video in the middle. And then promos aren't always necessarily his strong suit, but he killed it at this one.
You know, I think anytime he's really asked to perform with a promo, he does, like, he's never whiffed it.
No.
He doesn't give them that often, but I think it's honestly impressive of him, of anybody, to be like, I can do this thing, and I am, but I'm showing restraint.
Mm-hmm.
Restraint is so admirable. Some could listen. Some could listen and learn.
Just keep saying things like looking in a certain direction meaningfully. Well, anyway.
Let's just clip just for our Twitter. We just clip, restraint is so admirable. Long pause. Okay, so some of the main points here. He watched his best friend die, who's your wife actually, but that's fine, you call it what you need to. And he looked at the people around him and they were stepping up the way he wished that he had, but they also were all children. These are little babies who actually don't understand loss at all, and
they don't know suffering.
They don't know how dangerous Mox is. They don't know how he can change you, how interacting with him can change you. And they need AEW. Orange Cassidy needs AEW. Someone has to step up for these little babies. And so he will. He has little left to live for because his wife is dead. So he says, I will fight Mox on my own so no one gets hurt. So horny.
He's going to sacrifice himself for the children.
What
the
fuck? I was just absolutely Slime City, baby. If we can say it.
Yeah, everything about this promo worked for me. Like, the way that he just had this air of like tension through his whole body, and he was mad and miserable at the same time, and he kept biting his words out, and it was mm-hmm. I loved him calling everybody children, because oh my it God. Is like for him to be like, you have seen nothing, you've cared for nothing, you haven't lived the lives that I've lived with my wife Chuck Taylor.
You haven't old enough to have a friend of 20 years, an adult friend of 20 years.
You're probably still living with the person that 20 years from now you're going to say we used to live together, okay?
Actually, I'm concerned. Is AEW paying these young wrestlers so much that they're not even living together anymore?
Okay. Okay, I see. When the Old Men podcasters said AEW was making people soft, I thought that they were silly. Mm-hmm. But now you're making a good point.
Now I'm concerned.
What if AEW paid everyone really good salaries, but with the stipulation that you're not allowed to spend more than $1,000 on rent?
What if they built big AEW dorms and everybody got assigned a roommate?
This is not the first time that we've tried to suggest this.
Please, God.
What if it was an old summer camp, you know?
We reinvent the wheel. We reinvent the wheel every damn week. What if? My God, that's so horrifying to think about. The idea that 10, 20 years from now, Danny Garcia won't be able to say we lived together about someone. I want to barf.
Yeah, it's derogatory.
Yeah, when 20 years from now, when he's feuding with Isaiah Cassidy, he's going to have to say, hey, we sat in catering together.
Okay. Yeah, we did vlogs together.
Everybody remember when we shared a dressing room?
What's a vlog?
Disgusting.
Remember when we vlogged? That's nothing. God. That's compared to...
The remember salaries when we were a need real to come country? Down.
Yet we used to trick or treat in America. We used to... These are the issues that are on the table next week. Oh, God. I cannot believe. Well, we'll just see how that election goes, girls.
Oh, we'll find out when we come back.
We'll straight up just see how that election goes next week.
Allie just never comes back from Australia.
They can't make me. I'm a citizen.
I know. Concerning.
They can't make me leave. All right. Okay, so... Did you guys like this quote from Manolo? Manolo pissed me the fuck off this week.
Manolo is usually our friend. I can't believe he would say these things
I'm
to
usually
us.
So charmed by the things he says that are wrong, but this week he didn't like OC, really. He said, I've got to read this.
You should.
Mox just wants to end the candy-ass version of AEW. Seems offensive, to be quite honest. It was odd how Cassidy belittled the locker room with unintentional backhand compliments. He praised their courage, then said they don't understand the danger of the situation. Newsflash, Slick. These are all grown men he's talking about. For example, Daniel Garcia is 26 years old. A child.
Yeah, yeah. A literal
First
child.
First of all, a 26 literally old is a child.
A
Second
baby.
Of all, child is state of mind. Like...
Absolutely.
Isn't Sammy in his, like, mid-30s, like, also
perpetual,
a child?
Perpetual child.
Oh, I don't know. I'll be honest.
I could be late 30s. He could be in his 40s.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't. His 50s. He's 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but you're right. He's a child, though.
He's a child.
He's a child.
He's an infant. That's a state of mind.
Yeah. It's a state of mind. And then Manolo said, Cassidy isn't exactly the epitome of a badass himself. I actually
Excuse
felt
me?
Insane. Like, I was just like, some of you, we've said it before, will not let yourselves be seduced by the tail.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. This man has shown so much character growth over the course of his time at AEW. He has gone from, you know, just being like, I'm just a little nobody, to being like, I've people respect me, mm-hmm. and I have to accept that to be respected is also to have a responsibility mm-hmm. to those people.
Yeah.
That is cool. That's cool character stuff. And he's a fucking great wrestler, and he cut a fucking great promo, and they are children. They literally are children.
And it, how can everyone be complaining that the baby faces are all these, like, young guys who aren't, like, believable enough as threats, and then also be like, I can't believe he called a 26-year-old a child. Like, well...
Girl, I have had it with this Discord cycle. Thank God we're going on vacation. Because a lot of you, yet again I say it, go watch a movie. Go think about how a story works. I'm hearing some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard about this storyline. Some of you don't know. God in heaven. Okay, well, let's move on. Later in the show, Mox and company cruised out to the ring via some red hell tunnels. That was a good touch for Fright Night. Mm. And Mox cut a promo in which he said that actually, OC hasn't challenged him to a match. He called OC out. He challenged him when he broke Chuck Taylor's neck, which he had to do because he had to free OC from distractions so he could focus on some goals. And he can't wait to fight OC again. He said something actually much more complimentary than I think they recorded in the...
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, Orange Cassidy is somewhat... It was like... It wasn't like someone I deeply respect, but it was like, Orange Cassidy is a real cool dude who I want to have sex with real bad. Like,
yeah. Well, here they've transcribed he's a real cool customer, but I think that he said something even more complimentary than that. I gotta go out back with whoever does the transcripts, and we're gonna have to have a real fucking talk. But he was basically like, I'm horny as hell. And you know what? What you know what I'm actually fighting for? Sex. We're not fucking enough around here. I look around every day and I see people not kissing, not fucking, not frotting. That's not what you want to see. You want to see the opposite, and you want to do the opposite. You want to get in that ring and you want to make love to the mat. Okay. So... Then what? Oh, then Marina and Pac abruptly attacked Wheeler Yuta. They put the chair on his neck the same way they did to Dustin last week. Wheeler's screaming. He looks betrayed. He's so scared. OC runs out for the save, and they attack him. And then they release Yuta, and Yuta also attacks him. A ruse.
Horrifying.
Simply a ruse.
It's voluntary bait for his own father.
It's so brutal. For Yuta to know that OC would come for him even after everything he did and use that against him.
But you know what I also thought? I don't know how clear. Like, yes, he did then join in to beat up OC. But I kind of thought, I was like, is Yuta that good an actor, the character? Is Yuta the character that good an actor? Did he know he was going to be used as bait? Probably yes, but isn't it kind of sexy to think that, like, being in the BCC is just, like, suddenly your head is in a chair, and then 2 minutes later, your head is out of the chair, and someone's just hitting you, like, get him, and you just have to be like, I guess. I fucking guess. I would like that, because I would like for Yuta to be, he said something in that interview with Nigel where he said, like, do you think I take joy in any of the things I'm doing? No, but I do them because I have to. Where would I be without Moxley, Claudio, Pac, and Marina? We have no choice. And I was like, someone who's saying that kind of thing would just be abruptly, without having it explained to them, getting used as bait, and then have someone be like, okay, now murder your dad again. And you're just like, I can't. I guess.
It did make Wheeler sound like kind of a victim of Stockholm Syndrome a little bit. Like, he's, what choice do I have?
If you don't see a way out, you know, he's just trying to stay alive. And that seems hard in the BCC dungeon.
It's
a ratty rat world.
You make it through any way that you can.
Amen, sister. Amen. It's about survival. Okay, so fighting. We got a bunch of face run outs. OC's getting attacked on the outside. Abruptly behind him in the shot, Darby gets just dropped.
I barked after. Like, so the noise that came out of my chest.
It was so funny.
When Darby just appeared from the sky in his goofy harness. Like, I'm not making fun of the harness. It's a good thing that they did that. But
safety
safety is very good. That was the stupidest way to use a harness that I, like, Was he just supposed to be brooding in the rafters the way Sting taught him? And then he said, oh, no.
Something about his body language. I mean, I don't know. Listen, I've never been dropped out of the rafters, so I don't really know what is going on with your body during that experience. But he looked like the claw had just come down in the arcade room and scooped 100%. Him up, and he didn't expect it, and he's just like a little limp cat. Like, what?
I literally, like, when it happened, because I was watching Claudia or whatever was happening, like, on screen, and then, like, I just saw him drop out of the corner of my eye, kind of, and, like, I thought it was, like, a dummy, you know, like, I thought it was, like, in Parks and Rec when, like, a skeleton just swings into Ben Wyatt's face. Like, I was like, oh, that's creepy, and then I was like, oh my god, this is Darby. It's so stupid.
It kind of almost would have made more sense if it was a Darby mannequin decoy. And so they got distracted by it, and then real Darby snuck out of the crowd or something. That might have made even more sense. I loved it. It was insane. It's completely insane.
It's the same thing as, like, the Kenny Jericho promo where I'm like, yeah, of course I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
Oh, no.
In fact, he should do it more often. He should come down from the rafters in a harness to promos that he's not even involved in just to be like, what a mess.
I feel like he's addicted to the harness out of the rafters. So. Like, now that the door has been open to it, it's like he's never going back.
No.
I think it might actually just be he's craving, like, shibari. Is that what it's called? I don't know for sure, but I think he might be getting some endorphins from it that he doesn't fully understand.
No, I agree. It's like, you know, he wasn't allowed to climb Everest, so now he's trying to find his thrills elsewhere. And he says, ooh, when men strap me down, when they wrap, like, thick cords around me.
For safety.
For safety. And then they dangle me in the sky. Yeah, I love it.
I wish he would get into that instead of keeping his eye on this Everest dream. Every time I read a new article about Everest, I freak out again. Like, it's just like, it's unethical. Mm-hmm. It won't be fun.
It's You're not gonna even going to get him the thrills he wants. Standing in a line with, like, 100 other people to get to the top, like, that's not cool. It's not Daredevil. It's like,
yes, could you die up there? Absolutely, you could. But are you also now required to pick up a certain amount of trash to bring down on the way back? Because there's trash littering the entire place, the entire beautiful mountain? Yes. That's not the kind of excitement that I personally crave. Yeah. Wait in a long line, maybe die, and then bring trash down. I don't think he knows what he needs.
No.
Go to therapy and get into.
And put on a bra.
Go to therapy, cry in a bathroom, put on a bra. Simple requests.
This is our version of that Stevie Nicks song, Hard Advice. Oh my god. Okay. Well, anyway, so that's what happened. Oh no, and then the BCC did get chased off just as Private Party had come out with Daniel Garcia as part of the face squad. And so then as the BCC are getting chased off, the Bucks music hits and the Bucks come out for their match versus Private Party, which I thought was some beautiful. We like to see the overlap. One thing leads seamlessly into another. It's organic.
I love that, especially because I love the Bucks' face as they did it, where they were like, I was bored with this. It wasn't like their vibe was like, I pressed the button early because I was waiting backstage and you guys were taking a really long time.
They said we were going on at X time and it was 4 minutes past.
We booked the conference room for 9, so.
You're just like, you get out, pick up your stuff, leave. So, I loved all of this. Now, can we maybe jump to your guys' special segment? Because I think I missed this moment. So I'd love for you to just tell me what you saw and what you felt about it.
Alex Reynolds hopes into view. And he's got his ribs taped up. But it's wrestling, so, like, everyone wrestling tapes ribs. The ribs insanely. And so, like, he had done it like a girl's tube top. Mm-hmm. And it looked so good, and it cupped his breasts. Like, he looked like Kate Winslet in Titanic. I was like, oh.
Okay, pause.
I literally, from behind, thought he was Marina for a second. I was...
Would you say that he had put on a bra?
Oh.
He had answered the call before we even...
Yeah.
Yeah, before we even made it. Wow, does he get an award?
Yeah. Yeah. The...
Best Boy Bra Award?
Best Boy Bra Award, yeah.
Best Boy Bra, yeah.
I love all our awards are BBB, Better Business Bureau.
But yeah, so he
it's the Best Boy Bra Award, yeah.
He was wearing his halter bra, and he was wearing, like, low-cut jeans, too.
Oh my God.
And for some reason, he kind of, like, had, like, a hourglass shape going on because, like, the corset had, like, narrowed it so much. So then, like, he turned around and started to, like, beat somebody, and Anne's right, his shoulder length hair kind of, like,
yeah,
kind of, and I was just like, oh my God, he's working it.
I believe somebody said, like, does he look kind of like slutty, complimentary? He looked kind of like sexy slutty.
He absolutely did.
Wow. I can't wait to go back and watch that. I fully missed that, and God, I wish I hadn't. I want to feel what you guys are feeling. I want to see it.
Alex Reynolds, John Silver's a lucky man.
Congratulations on your award. That'll be in the mail. Oh my gosh. Do you guys have anything you want to say about just the overall storyline stuff? So OC is going to fight Mox at Full Gear, and that'll be the main event. Mox has the men's world title, so that's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. I feel like the storyline is going really well. Like, right now I'm, like, desperate for OC to win it, even though I know there's no way he will. And I don't even want, like, the storyline to end now, yeah. But I am, like... I want beautiful Orange Cassidy to succeed.
I feel like a lot of people were really mad that Darby crashed into this storyline at all. But I'm like, it makes perfect sense to me because Darby's backstage right now being like, everything's gone wrong. I'm looking for a fight anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, his vibe
and he
is sort of like...
It.
Right, right.
He caused it by being stupid.
He did.
His stupidity is what caused all of this. Like... But it's, you know, narratively, that's got to pay off somehow.
Right. It's absolutely right. He has a reason to be in this. He has a reason to want Mox gone. But I also just think, like, even if that hadn't happened, Darby's vibe is kind of like he's wandering
bar to bar
looking for a fight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And also, it's like all the babyfaces are out there. Like, they're asking OC to be the leader. Like, no one's going to ask Darby to be a leader right out of the gate. You know, I feel like it's fine for it to, like, stretch out.
I would love Darby to be giving a promo that's like, hey, nobody asked me. Where was my intervention from Daniel Garcia?
Darby, you're clearly a last resort leader material.
I know. It's like no one can find you to ask. You're always just off in a corner talking to your skateboard, buddy. We don't want to interrupt. That conversation could be important.
I would love to see Daniel Garcia and Isaiah Cassidy kind of field that, you know? Like, imagine Darby confronting them and be like, why wasn't I your top choice for a leader? And they're like, ooh... I guess we, you know, you were up there. You were, if OC said no, we were definitely going to come to you next.
Yeah, you made the list. You made the list.
Darby and Sammy are exactly the same age, by the way. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
That's crazy because I'm like, Darby is an adult man and Sammy is an infant child.
Well, Darby, I've watched get older over the time that we've. Yeah. Watched wrestling, and Sammy I've maybe watched get younger. Maybe more baby than ever before.
Despite the fact that he's gotten married and had a child. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
so true. You know what? This has nothing to do with anything. I just need you guys to know that for some reason over the past month, it's become an intrusive thought for me while watching AEW Dynamite. Like, Darby won't even be there, and suddenly I'll just think... Remember that time Andrade tried to buy him? Remember that time Andrade tried to buy Darby from Sting?
Sting's not my owner. He's my best friend.
Maybe one of the greatest things that's ever happened on AEW TV.
Andrade's real one brief shining moment. Yeah.
You got to give it to it. Like, did that man stick around? No, he didn't want it to. He wanted to go back to WWE. But did he give us some laughs?
Yeah,
for sure he did.
There were like 2 months where it was laugh central.
Laugh central, yeah.
We'll always treasure it.
Well, Andrade, you live in our hearts and at the Performance Center. Okay, if you guys ran the zoo, what would everybody here be doing when we get back at the end of the month?
Men's World Champion Orange Cassidy.
100%. Belt him up.
Yeah, or the story's still going. OC is lost. He's in the depths of despair. Chuck Taylor has to come back and
via Ouija board.
Should OC find like a lost tennis ball or something backstage and start talking to it like it's Chuck Taylor? Go full castaway.
Full castaway? Wow.
Is that something? It's not nothing.
It's not nothing.
I mean, I'd love to watch him lose his mind.
I wish we could watch, like, an epic movie where Orange Cassidy has to descend into hell and find Chuck Taylor. And
but in a way, find back. Orange Cassidy, too. You have to find yourself.
And he can't look back.
Bring him back. He can't look back. He can't look to see if Chuck's still there. He has to trust that Chuck's going to follow him. Make it to the surface, and then only then will he be able to defeat Mox.
Oh my God. Wow.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Absolutely beating off.
I feel like in some ways our energy right now is like, listen, like we took our AP classes, like we took the test, like we went to prom. There's still like one day left in the semester, but like nobody's expecting anything of us.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We have one more exam. It's PE. I want to see chaos reigning. I'd like to come back and have it be like pretty dystopian, but it would be like it would really be most effective for us because it's the kind of thing that should happen during like a 1 month break of a TV show. Mm-hmm. You come back and you're like, oh shit went fucking bad.
It'd be amazing if they like did do it for us where we come back and start watching the product again after a month and they're like, yeah, it's just like trash in the streets. Nothing's lit well anymore. Everyone's scared.
I just realized I'm envisioning there's one of the community paintball episodes.
Yeah. Jeff took a nap in his car. That's what I was thinking too. He wakes up, there's just like stuff blowing all over. No one's around. He doesn't know what happened.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that tonight. That's what I would like.
Yeah.
Mox sitting on like a throne or whatever, and he waves his hand and says, "Fight for me!" And two women wrestlers immediately just have to start brawling.
He could be eating a rat on a stick.
Oh my God! And this is synergy, Gladiator 2 synergy.
Oh,
who's making that movie?
They should be. Yeah, what's the production company?
Oh my God.
Gladiator 2, where they're apparently reading a newspaper in ancient Rome.
And I hear that they have sharks in the arena.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had sharks in our arena.
It's all connected the dots.
It's all coming together.
It's distributed by Paramount.
Ooh.
I don't know. Aren't they all owned by the same? If you go far enough up, they're all owned by Bezos or something.
The Shinehart Wind Company. Yeah.
Are we all just making couches at the end of the day? Okay. Let's move on. So the Bucks and Private Party had their belts versus Private Party breakup match, and Private Party won because they're actually such big, strong cubs. They're actually so good at fighting, and they're the new tag team champions. My goodness. Ladies, shall we begin with the Pearls?
I loved the Pearls this time because it wasn't just that they were, I feel like last time he did try to like comb them into his hair like a little bit more normally, and this time they were just kind of like all sprinkled on the crown of his head, like in a kind of like clump.
What do you think the mechanism for the Pearls is? I don't understand the beautification
products. After you asked that, I started Googling, and it seems like possibly a likely answer is there's like a glue situation.
But that seems unsafe. He's gluing his beautiful hair.
Hair glue, right?
It is, but I guess I don't trust it.
To sacrifice your body the way the Bucks are.
For my body, I would sacrifice. My hair, I would not. My hair, my one beauty? No, I don't think so, no. Well, interesting. So he's gluing them in, you think?
I mean, that was my guess after reviewing a lot of the Pearl hair products out there, because it didn't feel clipped in.
What if, wouldn't you love to see him in like a full, like I'm imagining like a full net of pearls just draped over him, like over the head? Is that anything?
Like a wedding veil?
Kind of. a little bit. Wow.
He'd look beautiful.
To see him on his wedding.
Of course, I would love to see the blushing bride.
Oh God, I'm gonna miss him. This match. Let's talk about. Let's set the pearls aside for now. Let's talk about the match layout. Now, I said here in the schedule, match layout, do we understand it? I think mostly no. Would you guys agree with that assessment in general?
In general, yeah. I feel like, can use my words to say that, like, there was a lot, like, there's sometimes false finishes where I'm like, that was never, you never scared me. Like, of course it wasn't going to go there. I felt like the match layout is when, like, they keep chaining the moves to a point where you're like, oh, clearly this is the finisher, and then you're like, no, like,
oh, that is, was that good. The match layout,
yeah,
wow. Oh well, but my follow-up was that I think we all said like this was so beautifully choreographed. Mm-hmm. Everything felt really purposeful, and you could feel yourself getting caught up in the story that they wanted you to be caught up in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and they had such a long segment of Private Party getting their ass beat. Heat segment,
I think it is. Heat segment, yes, Anne.
Yeah.
Gold star.
Thank you so much. Yeah, but then it really did make you desperate for them to come back, even though like I really don't give that much of a shit about Private Party.
And I feel like the crowd didn't give that much of a shit about them in the very, very beginning. And by the end, they were panting for Private Party to win.
Yeah.
It felt very much like the Swerve in Our Glory versus Acclaimed match, where the crowd really, really wanted like Swerve or wanted the Acclaimed to win, but they didn't get it that time. But like, it was like the same vibe where they were like, oh my God, I didn't know I was into this. But now if these men don't win, I will kill myself.
It really did. It was very cool to just be like, you can feel the crowd. Like they're like happy that the match is happening at the beginning, and you can just feel them getting more and more into it and being like, oh, I'm actually really invested in this. I'm really invested. I want a specific outcome. I need a specific outcome.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, they're just like pulling levers to do that. Like it makes me feel like stupid to say, but I'm like, well, they're really kind of doing it, I think, the way that you should.
I know.
They have a lot of control.
I would give anything. The
reactions they're getting.
I would give anything to hear them talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, but like in a like very like technical way, like how they think about it.
You can. I agree that I would love to hear like a full segment of just like when you're. I want to hear you. What's it called? Calling the match, like that part. But it did remind me of there's that old Rolling Stone video of them.
Yeah.
You know, the one where they're like laying out the match at the last minute and they're, you know, like saying stuff and being like, okay, this is what the crowd will do for that. And then the crowd will love that, or like the crowd will do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, imagine like feeling confident about how the crowd is going to respond.
But they're right. I mean, last night there was like, I was watching the crowd at one point and like people were like laser focused. And then there was I'm so excited I'm not getting my words out, but somebody came out of a pin, and like I just watched like this group of men surge to their feet to scream, and like the crowd like roared about it, and I was like, oh my God, they're good.
Yeah, they're so good. Part of the beatdown part, there was like a large portion of the match where Isaiah Cassidy was alone getting his ass beat in the ring because Okada had crept out and Tombstone piledrivered.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Quinn, do you want to talk about what that looked like?
It was the most gentle Tombstone driver I've ever seen in my entire life. He just sort of like sank. It was like somehow even more gentle than when Matt did it to Tony Khan. It was just like he just gently wafted to his knees.
It truly was like you were watching him sink softly, careful. Which I think someone in one of our group chats, it could have been one of you guys, did say like he didn't want to split his suit, and that was the vibe. It wasn't really about Mark Quinn's safety. He was just like wearing a nice suit, got to keep it safe.
Although a suit should move with your body. Easily,
oh, they certainly so should. You should be able to tap dance in that thing, buddy.
Yeah.
We know all about it.
I loved it that he just showed up, gently, like, held Mark Quinn for a minute and then left again.
And fantastic. That just, it was like he just, like, touched Mark Quinn's head and put him to sleep. Like, you know, just like a little wizard. Go to sleep. What was I going to say? Oh, so two move things from the match. First, I don't know if we've said this on the podcast. I feel like I still don't really feel confident enough to say it. But that move they're doing now where they blop someone, they put the guy over the line. What is it called?
The rope?
The rope. They put the guy over the rope and then Nick jumps on him and then he bounces in and then Matt does that, you know, that move. That's relatively new, right? That's from the, like, that didn't exist before, right? Were they doing that before?
I don't know.
It looks so cool every time. It's crazy to me. I cannot believe how clean it has looked every time mm-hmm. they've done it.
So true.
Okay. I thought I would get more enthusiasm about it, honestly, but maybe it's just my special new favorite move. Matt used the one-winged angel.
Yeah, that was, I mean, like, all of the Kenny references would have been so good. I'm just like, please, Kenny, come back.
His guts must be so close, right?
So close.
I pray to God. Okay, so the Bucks lost. They begrudgingly handed off their belts. This was quite sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very sportsmanlike.
They yanked it back, right? Did Private Party pick them up and then the Bucks yanked him away? And then, yes. Like, Matt kind of, like, he had, like, a boo-boo face and he pet his belt
he
for a moment.
He pet his belt,
and then he sulkily handed it over.
He was like, they did earn it. Our little Cubs did earn it. They passed them over. They skedaddled backstage. Later in the show, we also go backstage. Scoops Marvez returns. He's trying to get a word with the Young Bucks, but instead he encounters JB leaving their dressing room, being like, it's not a good time right now. Just as Danny Garcia is running up, shouting, where were you? Where were you when we all ran out there? You know you're next, right? And then he shoves him up against the wall, and he's throttling him. He's so angry. And he says, I'm sick of entitled pieces of trash thinking they can do whatever they want around here. And JB says, you think you're so special? And Danny Garcia says, you think you're so special? And it's just kissing really sloppy style, pretty much, basically, if you imagine, you know, if you use your imagination, really wet with tongues. And then a pause falls, and JB smirks in this just cruel, hurt way, and he says, they used to dance for me, too.
That took me out.
Dude, I didn't know I didn't get it for a minute, and I was like, who is they?
I did, too. The Bucks?
I could not have felt more lost. And then when I figured it out, I couldn't have felt more excited. Did you like this segment?
Yeah, I liked it, and I would like six more of it, please.
It was really, even for these two, shockingly sexually charged. I mean, wow.
I think our friend Mary said something like, you know, this is just what happens to JP, is that like, people get into a feud with him and they just have to get their hands on him.
He just has that magnetic energy. Wow, I love this. This was, what's that line from that poem I love? Their bodies galloped terribly against each other. You know, yeah. October something ferry, Martin's Ferry, Ohio. Okay. The Bucks, DG fucks off. JB returns to the Elite dressing room. As he opens the door, we see that the Bucks are stuffing their suitcases full of sneakers and ordering Brandon to shred documents. Later, we see them heading out to their car. They say they'll be working from home for the foreseeable future. They peel out of the parking lot, big truck with Kenny's picture on it, right next to them. Brandon is staggering out behind with his box full of white collar crimes, saying, "Wait, guys, wait for me." But too late, they have gone, and the BCC are on his ass, and they get him, and Christopher Daniels tries to interfere, but as a vice principal, he has no real power. So they simply bodily restrain him and then smash Brandon's hand in with a hammer. Woof.
That cracked me up because it was phrased, like, the way it was, like, done, it was like, oh, we're gonna really piss off the Bucks now, but like, the Bucks don't care about Brandon. they're not gonna take revenge on Brandon. For Brandon,
I see Brandon as like kind of like a pathetic Igor type. Mm-hmm. Or there's a character in like the Sandman, it's not a character. The Sandman has like a bit where like Cain and Abel are like, one of them is always killing. Who killed them? Cain killed Abel. Yeah, Cain is like always killing Abel, but Abel always comes back. It's a kind of an abusive thing. I'm like, that's kind of how I see Brandon. It's like, you could murder Brandon and he would still come back and be their loyal servant. Yeah. So they don't really care. They're like, yeah, we'll see Brandon when we see Brandon. Can't right. truly die.
Right. What white-collar crimes do you think the Bucks are worried about the Private Party uncovering now that Private Party are the tag champs? Like,
I didn't they get access to all those records.
Well, that's the vibe, didn't is like, realize. We've lost. And now everything's going to be blown up. And it's like, why?
They did kind of act like their EVP privileges had been stripped. And it was like, I don't think this tracks. I think probably you could continue to do your white collar crime. There's no white collar crime you couldn't do without a belt that you could do with a belt. You know, like
that we know about.
Oh, maybe. We don't know very many crimes, I guess.
Do the belts convey immunity? Is it like a get out of jail free card?
I'd love if we learned that. Is that how we learn that you can't be convicted of a crime at AEW?
If you're holding really, a belt, you cannot be. You legally
cannot
be.
That's why Mox can do everything he's doing. Right.
This really is all a political, what word am I thinking of that I can't think of? Analogy. Coup? No, not coup. Analogy. wow. So, okay. So we're not, I think we won't be seeing the Bucks for some time.
At first, I was happy because I was like, oh, good. So, like, we won't miss them. Like it's good that if they're going to take a break, we're going to take a break. We'll all come back together for the holidays. But
Dave. Us and the Bucks celebrated the holidays together.
I have to say, I immediately thought we're not going to see those two men until they fight in Japan.
Yeah, that seems to be what Dave thinks, too. And, I mean, it's just like, oh, so my December is going to be
Christmas
boring.
Without the Young Bucks.
Christmas, but there's no Bucks at my tree.
It does seem really sick. Like, remember years ago when we got to celebrate Christmas with Matt Jackson in a JCPenney's Christmas sweater and white jeans?
And he sauntered down to the ring
to be like, Adam Cole, do you want us to have a nice Christmas or not? I don't remember what he was mad about. He was really mad. And Nick was there.
Nick, I believe that Nick was in a Christmas print onesie. So,
oh, God.
What are they? The him rompers? The what do they call them?
Romp-hims.
Romp-hims.
Yeah.
The man yeah, loves God. A one piece.
Here's the thing. People say you don't know what you've got till it's gone. But the thing is, I knew. At the time, I said, this is the golden period of my life. It will never be better than this.
Okay, Brian Danielson.
Wow, you really achieved self-actualization.
It's really mean. I don't say hate crimes to you.
Sometimes you do. So I don't think you can confidently say you've never said a hate crime to me.
I think I've shredded all the office documents. Okay.
All right. Well, in a perfect world, though, God, in a perfect world, what would be happening when we came back?
The Bucks would be wrestling.
We'd come back and the Bucks would have, they'd reunite with Kenny on that show, the first one we're watching.
Yeah.
And they'd all just be.
Not me.
Fighting.
I want Kenny and Jericho to reunite.
Leah said, we've got to alienate our audience.
Imagine it's, okay, we're in Japan, right? And Kenny comes out, pop, pop, everything's crazy, everyone's screaming. And then Kenny is on the mic and he said, now it's time to bring out my tag partner, the love of my life, the most important man I've ever
Kenny
wrestled
has
with.
And everyone's so going,
a bushy. And then Judas hits.
Well, you know, that would be the first time anyone's heard Judas in quite some time, so it probably would get a big pop.
Probably would.
A really confused pop, where people are like, I'm so mad, but I'm singing too.
The classic Jericho response. They say, we hate this gimmick, but when he says hi, guys, yeah, we'd love to scream hi back at him.
ONR was so funny this week when they were talking about Jericho. Like, Rich just being like, you know, people say, who's Jericho going to get over? No, he got himself over. The man has done it again. If you count out Chris Jericho, you're stupid.
It's true. He's right every time he says it. What was I going to say? I kind of tuned out the middle of Jericho's promo this week, but so people think ROH is getting chopped around?
Yeah, he was talking about the ROH belt and how he was going to like bring it to more glory. And then Brian Cage did say, never underestimate Chris Jericho, and he said it really enriches cadence in a way that felt like a reference.
Yeah. So.
We love that.
I really hope that Chris has heard Rich say that, because it is
please
so fun.
I want that for Rich, and I want that for Jericho. I'm like, you deserve to have heard that. One again, Rich is right every time he says it, and no one says it like him.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we'll just hit this topic, because unless you don't want to, we don't have to. Should we hit this topic real quick?
We should hit the topic.
Yeah, we'll hit it quick.
Okay. Adam Cole fought Buddy Matthews, and he did this whole thing in the match where his ankle is kept giving out on him because he's weak, boned. And then he was like, oh, I'm too hurt to fight. And he tried to leave, and Buddy Matthews was like, you're fucking pussy or something like that. And we remembered abruptly that he was Australian.
I felt like, have I heard him talk before? Like, I knew he was Australian, but you kept saying it's a deeply unserious accent, and unfortunately that is the case.
I want to be clear. I'm so grateful to have Australian citizenship. I'm so grateful to be part Australian. And also at the same time, especially when you're not expecting it and you hear an Australian accent, you only can think unserious. This isn't... You just think... You laugh. You're like... What? So he
What else can you do?
What else can you do? So Cole was like, a pussy? Not I. So he came back to the ring. They continue fighting. MJF is watching from home. I didn't think we needed that. The crowd was somewhat split. Cole was not getting maybe all the support that he could have wanted.
Buddy Matthews was getting chants, which is a pretty dire thing to happen to anyone.
It would be humiliating to have Buddy Matthews get chanted over you.
Yeah, that's rough.
Our
thoughts and prayers at this difficult time.
Oh my God, to you and your family.
Yeah.
And so Adam Cole won, and then he tried to give Buddy a handshake of respect. He said, "Buddy, I know what you did, and I appreciate it. You just reminded me who the real Adam Cole is, and for that, Buddy." He just kept having to say Buddy. It's a grown man who's made out of plastic. Okay? For that, Buddy, I thank you. This guy is a cunt. Like, you don't have to. You simply don't gotta give it to him. He doesn't need a handshake of respect.
No, it felt insane. It was really, like,
yeah, it was incredibly stupid. And then it got crazy. Stupider.
It got so much stupider.
Because the lights went off. And when the lights came back on, Buddy Matthews was gone, and Malachi Black was holding Adam Cole's hand, which I guess is close-up magic.
This, I have to say, that this was the most I've been charmed by the House of Black in 2 years. Loved it. It was the equivalent of Darby coming out of the rafters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where I was like, this is the stupidest shit that I've ever seen in my entire life. They did that whole stupid rigmarole so they could pretend that Malachi magicked Buddy out of place and then took his place without Adam Cole realizing noticing. That it happened. Mm. And that makes Malachi a badass. Loved it.
I do think it really, it's now you see me shit. This is you're going into a bank vault on the other side of the world shit.
I am obsessed with these two guys on TikTok. They're like two German guys that like they hold up like a gold sheet and like pretend like they pretend to do really bad magic where like one of them will like hold up a sheet and then like pretend that the other has disappeared, but you clearly see the guy crawling in the background, and then the camera turns around and there's passerbys literally giggling their face off at the really inept magic. Yeah. And unfortunately, this is all I could think about, where I was, like the crowd just giggling, being like, "You're so stupid."
I will say I am charmed by the mental image of Buddy and Malachi as a Buddy, damn it, Buddy TikTok act. God damn it. You can't be named Buddy.
You can't be named Buddy.
It's not okay.
No, it's crazy that Brian Danielson gave his son that name God. On his birth certificate. Like, it's not a nickname.
There will come a day, Brian Danielson, where your child will approach you and say, "Daddy, do you hate me?" Were you mad? Were you mad when you found out I was in mommy's belly? Anyway, it is quite funny to think about the kayfabe conversations that Malachi Black must have with his crew, where he's like, "Okay, so if he takes your hand, here's what we'll do.
I'm going to magic right in there. I'm going to do the dark arts. And then I'll be shaking his hand. He'll have no choice about it."
And what was that? It's not like he used that to, like, then pull Adam Cole in closer. He just kept holding Adam Cole's hand until Adam Cole walked away. So it was, like, the kayfabe explanation that he, like, wanted to disconcert Adam Cole. Like,
he has a crush on Adam Cole. Maybe he just has like a pretty sweet crush on Adam Cole. I actually, now that we're getting down into the weeds about it, I do think it would make more sense if Buddy had initiated the handshake, and because then it would be like this was their plan the whole time for Malachi to get in there. As is, it's like, what were they working on the fly, or did they have plans A through F, depending on how Adam Cole reacted? But I do think it might be, a little bit of a crush situation.
Maybe they assumed Adam Cole was going to attack him, so he was like, okay, we're going to do the lights out. I'm going to, like, swap in for you. And then he gave him a handshake instead, so he still swapped in, but he was like, oh, and then he just didn't know what to do, so he just stood there holding his hand, you know?
He's just surprised by how nice it felt.
It's like, ooh, soft.
He just thought, like, when was the last time I touched someone not in violence?
You know that Adam Cole has very pleasant, nice hands. Like, that is not, it's not a wet soft fish situation. Soft. Yeah. Like, it's, it is.
And they're not workers' hands. There's no calluses.
They're not workers' hands, but they're not
cold.
There
might be a couple of gaming calluses.
Yeah, oh, sure. True. Some thumb calluses. Those are.
He's not going to interfere with the good time you have when you shake his hand.
Don't you think shaking hands with, like, Pac would be deeply unpleasant?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It'd be, like, cold and scaly.
Clammy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably
we
scaly,
really
yeah.
We are just, like, Pac doesn't have normal skin. It's like the, it's the Sharks Are Smooth comic. Yeah. That's about Pac. Mm. And it's like, people could try to be like, he's just a person. He just has normal skin. We're like, well, scaly. So scaly and clammy and wet. Mm. Kind of oily almost. like an oil spill in the ocean. Oh, it's like when the water has too much salt in it. We love you, Pac. So anyway, then later we went backstage. Adam Cole is in, he's in medical getting checked out for his weak ankles. He says, my ankle may never work good again. And I don't blame you, Max. What I blame you for is pretending that me and you could ever work. Adam Cole and MJF were meant to become enemies. And then he gave this little promo where it was like, this is becoming so much more confused than it needs to be. I do not know. I don't know why this man is a face.
No.
I don't understand it.
No. It's like literally the worst face turn I've ever seen. Like, his justifications where he's like, yeah, you acted like we would be friends. It's like, Adam Cole, I think you convinced MJF to be friends. And then he was like, but I wasn't going to sit around and wait for you to turn on me because I care about the locker room. Like, what?
I wish he was just straight up gaslighting. Like, it would be so much better if he just straight up was like, I loved MJF, and, you know, like, he hurt me. What else am I supposed to do? And then we'd be like, that's not what happened, unless it is. No, it's not, right?
And if someone, even if someone said, like, well, I don't think, and then he's just like, no, he hurt me. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Like, it hurts me to know that I loved him and he turned on me. Like, and then he, like, could indicate in the show that other people are like, I don't think that's right, but okay. All right.
That's
honestly
a moment
if he
that
gave
you
this identical promo, but the guys in the back were looking at each other like,
right,
is that what happened?
Yes, like, right, fine. Then,
yeah.
Right. That's a moment you use Christopher Daniels for, because Christopher Daniels would be like, didn't MJF, and then, like, Adam Cole shoves him.
Yes. Get out of here, Christopher Daniels. I think the other thing that he could be doing that he's not doing is, like, he could be just, like, approaching things really defensively and just being like,
everybody's like, acting like I was bad to murder MJF, but
right. You all wanted like, to do it.
Exactly. And to be like, what do you want me to say? Like, we've all seen how you treat people, like, and I don't know, like, why anyone would think that you and I were any different. Like, something that's just, like, where he's just being like, well, you were going to do it eventually. One of us had to do it first.
Yeah.
One of us was going to do it, so I had to do it. Like, anything like that. The approach that he's taken is so strange. Because I just don't, I'm like, you just can't, you cannot convince me that he's not a snake.
No.
I think it's crazy to try and convince me that he's not a snake.
He's literally giving supervillain monologues while we're supposed to think that
he's a
baby face.
Which would be great if you were presenting him as a
supervillain. Right, if he was a supervillain, this is perfect.
It's crazy.
It's bizarre. Between, like, all this stuff, which is, like, somehow getting worse every week, and it was so bad already, and then, like, his ankle selling was, like, so cartoony and ridiculous looking. It was, like, honestly, like, it really did tip over into comedy for me because it was just, like, so ludicrous. Mm-hmm. It's, like, Adam Cole, everything about everything from the episode was an absolute disaster for you.
Once again, I'll say, if he was gaslighting left and right and really defensive, and like people were being like, I don't think that's what happened, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then the ankle selling from a heel would be fine. It would be great. Like, yeah, totally. You know, it's like the face thing is just not really working.
No. And for him and MJF, when MJF is like literally out shooting a movie for months or whatever, for them to come back and be like, this is the one thread we can't drop, like every other storyline we've dropped because of injury or whatever. It's like, no, we're going to come back to this well and we're going to do it again and it's going to be worse this time.
It's just weird. Like, why? Because they have some, like we were talking earlier about the Bucks understanding crowds. For some reason in this feud, they have these assumptions about the crowds that I don't understand. Like they were like, oh, we'll have to bring Adam Cole back as a face because the crowds are going to insist on cheering for him and they're just going to be on his side. And it's like, well, that's not what happened. And they're like, we can't bring Adam Cole back and put him in a different feud because the crowds would be panting to see Adam Cole like in MJF encounter again. It's like, nobody wants it.
No. It's so interesting. I mean, he was getting booed. Like, Buddy Matthews was getting cheered. Like, hopefully they'll pivot based on that because it is this attitude, like, of course everyone loves Adam Cole. And it's like, I think he actually burned through a lot of goodwill last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I don't know. I'm like, I do still like Adam Cole in there somewhere. I just wish that he was more in touch with his craft.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's like Adam Cole, the person, it's like fine. But that's yeah, true. As a performer, I'm having a problem. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're very right. We have to make a distinction.
It's like when I was in middle school, I went to go see Usher and I had a really, really nice time at the concert. I enjoyed myself very much. It was like the third concert I'd ever been to. It was a great time. And then I think a year and a half later, I went to go see him again because my friend's mom bought us tickets. And weirdly, it was the exact same show a year later. And I was like, oh, it's not as much fun this time. Like, I already saw this. I saw this. Yeah. And it sucks because I paid a lot of money. And it's the same Usher concert. And so I'm like, that's
Usher
what happened with Adam Cole.
Cheating us. Is cheating us out of our the entertainment we paid for. Let me ask you guys just one question, okay? Mm-hmm. Are we 1,000% positive that Adam Cole and Roddy are competing to fight MJF? Because Roddy hasn't had a match. Mm-mm. And hasn't had any matches announced.
And he was standing in the background looking very supportive of MJF. So, Adam Cole, excuse me.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
Yeah, right, I mean.
Interesting. I don't know which podcaster said this. We saw it reported on in one of our spaces. Some podcaster was like, it would be booking malpractice to let Roddy fight MJF before Adam Cole. And I truly read that and thought, I could live to be 100 and not understand, man. I could live to be a million and not understand the mind of men,
We study them and we study them and we come no closer to decoding them.
I am failing.
Also, so funny because like people fighting the minion before the guy is like pretty normal booking,
it's
right?
So normal. I don't know. Malpractice. Why? Because would it be because Roddy would have a better match? He might. Yeah.
Actually, he probably would. Yeah.
Did we just figure it out?
Do we understand men?
No. Even then, it's like, well, make him have a bad match. Tell him to make it bad then. I don't know. It's like,
or tell him his ankle hurts, but only half the time in the match.
Do you think it would be fun to watch a match where someone, you know, like sometimes the ref is like talking to them, you know, you're not supposed to see it or whatever, but the ref is whispering a little something. They're just sharing like how many minutes are left. God knows. Would it be fun to play a game where every time the ref whispers to you, they tell you something new that you're supposed to pretend is hurt on your body?
It's like kind of like a big game of Twister that Tony Khan is playing with you.
Tony's backstage, pulling a wheel, and he's just like, left elbow.
But maybe some of it is stuff like he just elbowed you in the mouth and you've got a really bad canker sore.
Speaking of the ref talking, what segment was it? Was it one of the mock segments that like somebody right next to the camera kept being like 30 seconds?
Oh, AEW, the day that you sort out your audio for good is the day I stop watching. I don't keep it. Let's stay amateur. Let's stay amateur hour.
I love that startup mentality.
We spent all our money on wrestlers. We didn't buy any microphones.
Oh my God. Guys, let's just, I want to hit some one sentence points from the rest of our content here. Okay. Hangman cut a promo on Jay White that was so normal and concrete. Mm. Thank you, Hangman Adam Page. Mm-hmm. You simply described how you men have interacted before at AEW, which no one had done. Yeah. And I really needed someone to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you
for your service. Kip Sabian appeared with the Patriarchy in a short segment. In which Christian asked Hook to meet all of them in the ring next week so he can explain the misunderstanding. Kip is in the group now?
Yeah, and he was standing like exactly the same way that Shayna, Wayne, and Christian were standing with kind of a proud air, and it was very like, there's some weird stuff going on here.
His chest was so puffed up, and he had this look on his face like, look at me now. Everyone made fun of me.
I'm in the faction, guys.
Everybody said, oh, Kip, you're wearing a box on your head. You're so stupid. But you know what? Look at me now, Ma.
It started from the bottom. Now I'm here, baby. Wow. And to think that man won't orgasm again until 2027. Love that for him. I can't wait to see what they say to Tyler. Our final point. Swerve fought Shelton Benjamin on Fright Night, and afterwards the lights went out, and for once it wasn't Malachi doing a magic trick. It was the debut of the man himself. We've been hearing about him for many months now. And his name is real. It's Bobby Lashley. And he debuted. What did you guys think?
I don't know. I had hit a point where I was just like, wrestling is so absurd.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Was he wearing pleather? Was it a pleather suit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was giving a little bit of like Ross from Friends.
He did seem stuck in it in some way. It was not.
Yeah.
It was a little too small.
Backstage, somebody's going to be baby powdering that man.
He'll be forming a paste.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was so goofy because it was like Swerve beat Shelton Benjamin, and then MJF said, MVP said, oh, you'll hear me now. You'll pay for that. And then he pulled out his phone and theatrically went, dee, 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 dee. And then, hello, Mr. Bobby Lashley, it's time to come out. I know you're backstage.
I don't know why in the middle of this, somehow the absurdity of the debut situation for the Hurt Business just hit me. And I'm like, I guess maybe it's normal. Like, you want to milk your pops. That sounds repulsive, but so you're having a baby one by one. I guess it's normal, I guess. But just suddenly I was like, how long have I been watching the Hurt Business debut for? 10 years?
I know.
I was like, I can't believe he's here. Finally.
There really was, I don't know, and the entrance itself, like, didn't, I think because of his outfit, and it wasn't cool, and just the whole episode, which I loved the episode other than the
Adam Cole stuff. Thought it was a great episode.
But there was a lot of absurdity in it, to my delight.
Yeah, and then, I wasn't mad, but I also immediately didn't take that man seriously. Like, immediately, I was like, that man was a goof.
That was the thing. There had been so many goofs that then when a man comes out trying to be serious and, like, hardcore and tough and intimidate you, but he's wearing a kind of maroon pleather suit, and it doesn't fit him, and it's like it's going to split in the back, and it's just like...
Oh, it was very much like, sir, I've been sucking down laughing gas for 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I've been watching a comedy show this whole time, and now I'm supposed to come down from that?
And now it's like, dun, 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 dun. And then he immediately, they just got into it. They're beaten, and he's beaten Swerve up. And I thought, that is so rude. That is so rude to do on your first day of work.
Yeah. He was really mean.
But he's a heel. So, but I cannot believe, I keep actually like being like, do I have to take the name Bobby Lashley seriously? Like, is it problematic
I don't think it's possible for us to take him seriously. I'm sorry.
Lashley?
No. Bobby? Lashley? No.
Lashley? You're to find lucky. Out if I'm like, it's a proud name. You know what I mean?
No, it literally sounds like it came off of Chuck Taylor's list of wrestler names, along with like Dick the Hammer Dick.
Unfortunately, someone in our channel did like tell us to keep an eye out for his very tiny ears, and that was all that I could see when he came down the ramp. As I said, so those are incredibly disproportionate to his head. Why are they so small?
Well, Mr. Lashley, we can't wait to keep getting to know you. And my God, guys, is that it?
That might be it. Yeah. Wow. And we are on break.
We're on vacation.
Out of office.
Guys, we did buckle down for you. We have recorded 2 bonus episodes, which will air in our absence. They will only lightly address the topic of wrestling. Wrestling is occasionally involved, but for the most part, it's just hysteria. So you can listen or not. But if you want to, if you want to imagine that we're still with you. You can do that. And then we will be back at the end of November. Yeah. Is there anything you want to talk about that I didn't bring up?
Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, no, we'll be back for Thanksgiving. I was gonna
we'll record Thanksgiving and then it'll be after when the episode comes out.
So happy Thanksgiving.
So happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. Buy our merch.
Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day. Enjoy November.
Guys, hope the election goes well.
Oh, God. Imagine if this comes out and then I can't. Oh, my God. Guys, I'm knocking on wood. I got to say a little prayer. I can't believe that we have to deal with it. I can't believe this is happening. I saw a tweet that was like every day before the election is 1,000 years. It was much funnier than that. But it really was just like, Jesus, we've always been here. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I have been Leah.
Oh, my God, this is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr, Tunnel Talk Pod, Twitch, Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have merch now. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, now more than ever. And come back when you do come back. When there's something to come back to, that's when I'd come back if I were you. Love you. Bye.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.